Good morning.
Good
to be here with you all today. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together. God, thank you for being good to us and kind and loving and giving us these moments so we can come together and sing to you and worship you together and read your word. And that when we read your word, we know and we believe your promise that your word is living and powerful and you get inside of us. So we ask that this morning that you would do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So last week we talked about spiritual depression or depression from the scriptures. And if you left last week thinking, I hope he doesn't do like a little mini-series about depression. He's been doing that lately. That would be kind of depressing, right? I know. It's early in the morning and I'm a dad, so I get to do one dad joke. That'll be the last one. Don't worry. We are going to do a little mini-series about depression, but 2 weeks, I promise. Unless something happens and then it's 3 weeks. Planning 2 weeks. So this is the second week, last week. We need to look at something specific that happens many times, even among those who are most faithful to God. Frequently, sometimes when we're depressed, and even when we're not depressed, this happens. It can be an element of our depression when we're down, and sometimes it occurs when we're doing okay and we're not feeling down. It's when God feels far from us, when we don't feel close to God, when we feel like He's just out there. And when do you feel in your life? When do you go through those times when you experience that, when you feel like God is far off, He's not close to you? When have you felt that God is far away? Even recently, when have you felt that? You know, for me, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was out walking with my wife, and we were walking, and I started thinking, I was like, okay, when do I think that? Because I'm going to ask y'all that. So when do I feel that God is far from me? And for me, it's when I'm down. A lot of times when I'm down, I just feel like he's far away. Sometimes when things don't go well, when they don't turn out the way that I want them to, when other people don't, this is the odd one for me. When other people don't treat me nicely, or when I feel lonely, when I feel not alone, but lonely, I feel like God's far away from me. Why is that? Isn't that odd? Because it's not God who's far away, it's other people. But anyway, that's the time when I feel that God is far off. When is it for you? When do you feel that God isn't close to you? And what does that feel like in that moment? Just remember that. If you're going through a season right now where God doesn't feel far off, then just remember back to what does that feel like? And more than anything, doesn't it feel just alone? You just feel like you're just not. There's an emptiness. And when I pray, I can't really pray because I try to pray and it's like my prayers bounce off the ceiling. I'm talking to no one is what it feels like. I open the Bible it's hard to open the Bible because we reread in those times and it's just like, I'm not getting anything out of this. It's like I'm reading just dry words off of dry pages. I don't feel God's presence. So what do we tend to do in those moments when we feel like God is far away from us? We close ourselves off. Our worship just turns off, doesn't it? It's our passion dries up. We don't want to come together with our brothers and sisters. I don't want to be with other people singing to Jesus because I don't feel that. I don't feel that he's close. We stop reading the Bible. We stop praying normally. I don't know how it is for you. I think normally it's like for us. We kind of start forgetting God. He feels like he's far off. And then I start forgetting about him. I stop pursuing him because I feel like it's not working. And so I just kind of get distracted with other things in life. We effectively turn away from God when we feel like he's far from us. And that in turn does distance us from God. That reaction to feeling like God is far from us truly does start taking us away from God. So don't we need a different way to react when we go through those times when we feel like God is far off, that my prayers aren't working, that I don't get anything out of reading the Bible, that I try to sing and I just can't sing? Go to Psalm 22, because in God's Word, He teaches us what we should do in those times when we feel like He's far from us. In the Psalms, in this Psalm in particular, David expresses that he felt the same. He felt the same that you and I feel, that maybe up until this moment, you kind of felt bad admitting in church that you feel, I feel like God's far off sometimes. David felt the same thing, and he shows us what he did. We see what by his example, what he did in that season of his life, and together we can learn to do what David did the next time that we feel that God is just far away from us. So let's look at the punchline, and then we'll look at the text. What did David do when God was far off from him? He did the opposite from what we normally do. He ran towards God. When he felt that God was far from him, he pursued God. That's our big idea from this psalm. We should pursue God always, and especially when we feel that He is far away from us. Look at verse 1. It starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? We'll start out with David experienced the same thing that we experience. He felt that God had abandoned him, that God was far from him. Verse 2, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, I find no rest. Just like us sometimes, he talked to God and didn't feel anything, didn't feel like God was responding, didn't feel like there was a connection when he was praying. I'm sure we all know what that feels like. It's like, is there anyone there? Is there anyone listening? And then because of that, he didn't feel peace. He couldn't even rest. He didn't feel the presence of God. Look at verse 3. Yet you are holy, enthroned on praises of Israel, and you are fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and you they trusted and were not put to shame. So what does he do? What does he do when he feels that God is far off? He pursues God. He pursues God several different ways we'll see in this psalm. But first of all, here, he pursues God by affirming his faith in God instead of letting his faith be weakened by feeling that God is far off. No, he affirms that what he believes, what he's always believed about God, hasn't changed. Even though he doesn't feel it, he affirms what he believes, that God is his God, and who God is, and who he is in relation to God. He affirms, he goes after God instead of letting his faith weaken. Look at verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. That's old-time bullying. Verse 8. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. And so then he returns to his reality. In that moment, what he feels bad, doesn't feel good with himself, feels that he's not worthy. He feels bad because other people are making him feel bad. He needs God's help, but he feels that God has abandoned him. And worst of all, everybody else can see that dynamic. They can see it, and they torment him because of it, which makes him feel worse. It's like a spiral. Look at verse 9. Yet, you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. He pursues God. Even though he feels abandoned by God, he goes after God. He pursues God. Look at by remembering his relationship with God, his history with God, his devotion to God. He's always served him. He runs towards God, the God who he feels is far from him. Now, verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. And he describes the trouble. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening, a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaw. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me, for they have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones, they stare and gloat over me, they divide my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots, but you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. He pursues God, the God who he has just said, you're far from me, you abandoned me, I don't feel your presence. A little bit of paraphrasing there. He pursues him. He draws near to God. He asks God to draw near to him. He begs God to be close to him, to help him. And as we can see by his description, he describes his problems to God. His problems are very present in his mind, in his life, but also in his mind. He sees them. They appear to be huge. He's undone by them. He feels like there isn't any hope for himself. And he begs God to not be far off. He runs to God. He expresses how much he needs him. Look at verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall be praised. May your hearts live forever. There's a big thought, there's a little thought stuck in the middle. Go back to verse 24. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. Doesn't that go against everything he's been saying about how he feels about God's presence? You've abandoned me. You're far away. Be not far away. I need you. Everyone says, where's your God? And he says, the reality is, God hears, and God is close, and God sees, and God knows. See, he knows that the reality of what he's going through is not the reality of what is not what he's feeling. What he's feeling is not the reality of what he's going through. And then look at the big idea that surrounds that in this whole section. He's pursuing God. How is he pursuing God? By doing what we just did together, by singing to God, by praising God, and then by taking other people into God's presence to praise God. So you feel God is far off and you say, I couldn't even lead singing this morning. Well, that's what David was doing. He was calling other people to worship God as he was worshiping God. He was coming together with his brothers and sisters. Those are all things that just disappear from our lives. When we feel that God is far from us, we don't want to come together. I don't want to sit here with y'all on a Sunday morning. I don't want to worship. I really don't want to worship when I'm driving to work by myself. Songs are not there. But he does. He feels God is far away. He says, I want to come together with my brothers and sisters. I want to praise God. I want to call them to praise God with me. That's faith. He believes God more than what he feels in this moment. So he worships God. He speaks of his goodness, even though he can't feel his presence. He knows who God is and what he's done and what he will do. So he pursues him by worshiping him. Look at verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. And he finishes, not by talking about his problems, the things he's going through, but by talking about proclaiming the greatness of God, his glory, his honor, his fame, and how he deserves to be served and how he will be worshiped. He lifts up God. He pursues God by talking about God to other people, by we would call it evangelizing, right? He by glorifying God, by proclaiming the goodness of God to other people, even when he feels that God is far from him. He runs after God. So what do we see in this psalm? Sometimes God does feel far from us, and it's not the reality. It's not true, but we feel it. David felt it. We feel it sometimes as well. And in those moments, when we feel alone, when we feel that he's not listening to me, he's not hearing me, he's not helping me, I don't get anything from reading, when I'm reading the Bible, it's just not working. I don't want to go on Sunday. It's not working. We should imitate David. We should pursue God instead of just drifting away from him in those moments. We should pursue him by verbally remembering and confessing and professing our faith that you are my God. I've always served you. I'm going to keep serving you. We should pursue God by forcing ourselves to read the Bible, opening it and just reading. And we get to the end of a chapter and we say, I didn't get anything from that. Then the problem was me, not it. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of that chapter. I'm going to read it again. Still didn't get anything. So I'm going to read it again and again and again. I'm going to read until I hear something from God. I'm going to read chapters of the Bible. I'm not going to read the verse of the day and then be done with it and say, I read my Bible today. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to fight for God's presence. I'm going to fight with my own spirit, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. And when I get distracted and I can't focus and there isn't anything to say, and I'm going to keep talking to him. I'm going to lift my voice in song. I'm going to sing, as not just on Sundays, especially on Sundays, but through the rest of the week as well. Every day we should be a singing people. We should sing to God, even when he feels far from us. We should come together and worship. We should speak about his grace and his gospel. That's how we should pursue God, by going after him, especially when he feels far from us. And when we do that, what we see in the psalm, what we see, especially how the psalm ends, when we pursue God, we will encounter God. When we run towards our Father, we'll run into his open arms, right? When we seek God, we find his presence. So, question for all of us. I guess you could call this an application question. How will you pursue God the next time that you feel that he is far from you? What will you do? Because David did stuff. How will you pursue him? And okay, so we've gotten through the psalm, and we've talked quite a bit about this whole idea of being far from God and God being far from us, feeling that God's far away, without mentioning this, one of the biggest realities of the universe, which is that by nature, we are separated from God. By nature, God is far from us because we've rebelled against him. Because we've disobeyed him, we are separated from him. So, a couple verses for that. Let's go to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, that's disobeyed God, and fall short of the glory of God. Go to Isaiah 59. I know that's a jump, but Isaiah is a big book. Just open to the middle, a little bit to the right of the middle. Isaiah 59, look at verse 1. Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is ear dull, that it cannot hear. Listen to this. But your iniquities, that's your sin, that's Romans 3:23. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers are with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. Describes the same state. When you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Go back to Romans 23. For the wages of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Our sin separates us from God, and it takes us to death, eternal death. And all of us in our flesh live in that reality, separated from God. So listen, sometimes feeling that God is far from us is the truth. It's reality. But then the story doesn't end there. Go back to Romans 6, if you left Romans 6. Look at the second half of that verse of 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In spite of our sin and our rebellion against God, we can all be as close to God as David was, and even more so, because Jesus, this is why, because Jesus experienced true separation from the Father in our place. The words of Psalm 22, go back to Psalm 22 for a minute. The words of Psalm 22 don't just describe what happened to David. They also prophetically describe what Jesus would experience on the cross. So David said, look at verse 7, all who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. And when Jesus was on the cross, we're going to flip-flop, so we're going to go to Matthew 27 a couple times. Look at Matthew 27, verse 41. So also the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down from the cross. We'll believe him. Listen to these words from Psalm 22. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now back to Psalm 22. Look at verse 16. David talks about his anguish and what he was experiencing. He said, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. And then Jesus' hands and feet were pierced by huge spikes. He hung naked on the cross. The ones who crucified him divided up his clothing with lots. And maybe the strongest of all of them. Look at verse 1, Psalm 22. David starts out by crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? And then in Matthew 27, on the cross, verse 46, look at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the cross, Jesus went through the same separation from God that many times you and I feel. The difference is, in his case, it was so much more real because he carried on his shoulders the weight of all of our sin. Because he took our sin upon himself, because he became sin in our place, God the Son, in that moment on the cross, experienced something for the very first time. He experienced separation from his Father. God truly was far from him. The one who promised never to leave us or abandon us, that's Hebrews 13, abandoned his Son because he became sin in our place. He absorbed not only the separation from the Father, he also absorbed all of the Father's wrath on the cross for our sin. Jesus experienced true separation from God in our place for us, so that we, listen, so that we would never have to be separated from the Father again. So, this Psalm, Psalm 22, is more than just a way to pursue God when we feel down and when we feel far from him. It's an invitation for all of us. It's an invitation to you. Listen, if you've never entered into Jesus, if you've never repented and been baptized, today, as you go through life, when you feel far from God, unfortunately, that reflects your reality, because the Bible says because of your sin, you are separated. You are far from God. But that doesn't have to be your reality. Going forward, Jesus invites you to enter into the sacrifice that he purchased on the cross by repenting and being baptized. And in that moment, when you come up out of the water, you will have entered into the family of God. You'll receive forgiveness for your sins. The Father will be able to look at you with favor, and then he'll be able to draw near to you. He'll put his Spirit inside of you, and you will never have to be separated or far away from God again. ever for all of eternity. And in this community, when you say, I want that, tell one of the men who's been up here, you can repent and be baptized. This psalm is also an invitation for those of us who are Christians. It's an invitation for us to celebrate the closeness with the Father that we have and that we can experience, even in those moments when we don't feel it. And we can have that closeness to God thanks to the separation and the pain and the punishment that Jesus experienced in our place. So today, we can take bread and we can take juice. We can worship our Savior. And we can pursue the presence of God together as we take the Lord's Supper. Even in this moment, we can remember the cross. And we can thank Jesus for being separated from the Father so that we could be brought near. God, we come to you. We thank you because you are good and you are kind and you are loving. And you reach out for us and you pursue us when we are far from you. You pursued us before we were even born when you sent your Son to the cross. And he suffered immeasurably in our place. And we know how miserable it is to feel that you are far off. We can't even begin to imagine the misery that Jesus felt when you did hide your face, when you were separated from him, because he was made sin in our place. So now we remember that. We take bread and remember his body. We take juice and we remember his blood. We thank you. We worship him. Thank you that we can be brought near. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.